Amen. Then the choir did a wonderful job this morning. Amen. Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Diane. Choir, wonderful, wonderful job this morning. Praise God. So good to see you here. Jim, it's good to see you here. Here it's been your birthday. It's good to have birthdays. Amen. How many likes to have birthdays? Well, the rest of you, good luck. I hope you have victory in Jesus. And if there is a home beyond, that the soul never dies for you. Praise be to God. If you have victory in Jesus, there's been a preparing a place for you. Amen? And life is short. We were just discussing moments ago about how this year has gone by so fast. And we should make every day count. Amen? We're certainly glad that you're here this morning. I wondered this morning as I was sitting just praying and talking to the Lord, what if those that, all of us that have victory in Jesus, those of us that are saved, would be obedient to what God's called us to do, to the very best, to His glory, and that we were His ambassadors, representatives outside the church and inside the church, and all of us worked and engaged in the service of the church and gave our 10%. What could God do? I like to see what God can do, wouldn't you? Praise God. At this time, children, you have the opportunity to go to Children's Church and Junior Church and ushers. You can come as we prepare our hearts for worship at this time. He walks with us and talks with us each and every day, each and every moment. And if we'll just listen and obey, I'm sure that God has some amazing things in store for us. I don't know, before we dive into Daniel chapter 5, I wonder if there's anybody here that likes green beans. Anybody? Has anybody here broke green beans recently? And as we might say, anybody strung green beans lately? And here's the one thing that I just cannot understand, but it's one of these things that in Appalachia just blows my mind. How many of y'all have 3 to 4 beans in a jar because of August fogs? Anybody? I know one does. It amazes me at the end of the bean season that you're taking those beans out of the jar that it is in line. Those are just things that, and when a little over 13 years ago that Karen and I was introduced to burn water, Miss Janie, that stuff just blows my mind. If anybody wants to know what burn water is, it is not moonshine. I'll explain it to you after the service if you like, though. That kind of stuff just, you know, being a Christian, a follower of Christ, is not boring. Some people have said, well, that kind of lifestyle is just so boring. Well, you've never really watched and observed a follower of Christ and saying how that it is nowhere near boring, because if you've surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not boring. And if you read the book of Daniel and look at his life, it's not boring. In fact, if you read the Bible, you can discover that being a Christian, a follower of Christ, is not boring. Being a Christ follower is not about religion. It's not about a ritual. It's about a vibrant personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? For a believer, though, when you look at the difference between the world and what Christ followers have, it cannot compare to what the world could even offer us. The success, that was a big S. For the believer, success is different than world success. Success for the follower of Christ is defined as God revealing to you and you understanding the will of God for your life, then actively doing it. Wouldn't it be great for all followers of Christ to be engaged in the service of Christ, striving to do the very best? Find out what the will of God is for you. So, Daniel chapter 5, I've entitled this, The Party. Because if I look at this and have prayed about this and studied this, our world culture today is engaged in a huge party, as well as Daniel. Let me give you a background here. If you fast forward from chapter 4 to chapter 5, it's been about 15 to 20 years that's been passed. There's been other kings that's been ruling over and been assassinated. In fact, one king died and his teenage son became the ruler, and he lived for just a few months before they assassinated him. So we've had several kings that's ruled Babylon and have been assassinated. Then you have King Nabonidus. He was absent. He's the king that was during this reign at this particular time in chapter 5, but he had decided, he self-imposed to be in exile. So he left Babylon and went to Tama in Arabic. Don't know why, but he left, and he left his son in charge. And that's who we're reading about today. This Belshazzar was the son of the king, and so they, I guess, co-regency, whatever, but this young man was the king at this time that you're going to hear that had a party going on. And so all this is going on. The city of Babylon was fortified. It had these huge walls all the way around. In fact, it's been told that the structure was there so large that on top of these huge walls that there was either a three-lane or a four-lane highway that went all the way around us. That's how thick and big and huge it was. Okay, so they were fortified. They were on the inside. They also had the river Euphrates that ran through the city, so they had a water source, and they felt very safe, and they felt very comfortable. Okay? Kind of like the mountains protecting and the rivers flowing through. They felt safe. They felt secure. Even though they know that outside of their walls, the Medes and Persians were out there plotting and trying to plan out an attack to take them over and to kill them. But their whole mindset on the inside was, can't touch this. And I'm not going to take off into a breakdance either. Okay, but that's their attitude. You can't touch this. There's no way that you can penetrate it. There's no way that this could happen here. And that was their mindset. So there's a party. Chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and brass, of iron, wood, and of stone. You recall several years past, there was a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Remember the statue? Same as. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we have gathered to praise your name, Lord, thank you. Those that have gathered here, those that are listening, those that are watching in other places, we know you have the power, you have the ability, and the desire to change lives this morning. Father, help us to listen intently to what you want us to do, and may we obediently follow that. For those, Lord, that's been playing religion, that know about you but not have surrendered to you, those that have been trying to impress the world with many obstacles and things instead of bringing glory and honor to you, Father, we pray today would be a defining, changing moment, that you're glorified, that you're lifted up, and lives are changed and souls are saved. May you take over this message to each of us, Lord. May we hear and obey. In Jesus' name and in his power I pray. Amen. Belshazzar says, let's have a party. His whole desire was to impress people. He was full of power. He was full of the position that he had. He was full of pride. And he was full of pleasure seeking. He wanted to impress the people. He wanted to boast about what he had and what he could do. He had all the pleasures that he wanted to, and he didn't look at the consequences whatsoever. This prideful, boastful, and feeling of invincible still exists in people today. That we're trying to impress people than honor God. That we're looking at the power, we're thinking it can't happen to us. We're thinking of the same things that Belshazzar was going about. And I believe in our culture today that the parties going on, that the pleasures and do what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do is still prevalent today. But I want you to know that the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God can change all of that as the people of God pray and begin to engage in what God's called us to do and begin to penetrate the darkness of this culture today. Are you willing? Will you surrender to that? God's word is true, and God will judge rightly. You can talk about the justice system today. You can talk about the politics of today. You can talk about all of those things, but I want you to know there is a God who will judge rightly. Having a funeral today at 3 o'clock. Doesn't really matter what I say other than trying to comfort and preach to the family and friends. What really matters is what did God say when he stood before him. Some of us don't like to think about that. But there's coming a day that we'll all stand before God. If you would, turn over to the back of your Bible, close to Revelations, to 1 John chapter 2. Talking about the difference of the world and following Christ, trying to impress people rather than honor and please God. The world can't offer it, folks, what God offers. It's a whole different lifestyle. The world can't come close. Find in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does that seem pretty plain and simple to you? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth how long? Abide in the Word. Abide in God's plan for your life. Belshazzar not only had the pride and the boast about him, trying to impress people, he defied God. He defiled the temple, bringing in the vessels of God to drink and have his drunken orgy party going on. The majority of people today are engaged in this party of self-pleasure. Whatever that infatuation is about it, just follow that because it'll be pleasing to you. And so infatuation and the pleasures of this world, the lust, all the things that the world is offering comes up short of being happy or filled with joy. Many people go through life and they try this and try that, they experiment with this, they experiment with that, and they try to get all this fame and fortune to find out that at the very top, it's empty. But following Christ is always full of pleasure and happiness and joy. But it's not like the world offers it. It's that peace and the comfort. It's the success of knowing God's will for your life and following that and knowing that He is with you, that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, for He will be your God. All these people in our world today, it's very sad. They're in this party of life, of pleasure and trying to impress people. They're unaware of what comes next. They're unaware of what the end is going to be. They're unaware of the consequences of their actions. The Bible talks to us about wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus' first reference to this was found in Matthew chapter 8, where he compares the kingdom of heaven to the feast where many people come from all parts of the world and they recline at the table. Then there's the others that don't know him, that rejected him, failed to surrender their life to God and trust him and confess him as Lord, that they're thrown into the outer darkness. The outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That day's coming. It's coming quickly. If it doesn't come through death, it'll come from the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to receive his own. Both are coming quickly. This party's going on. Look, if you would, at verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. I want you to imagine that for a moment. You're in this drunken party having a great time. Music's loud, people are loud, having fun. And all of a sudden, they look over near this light and they see a hand. Would that sober you up a little bit? I would be, excuse me, I gotta leave. The handwriting on the wall. Same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. This is an understatement, I believe. In verse 6, and the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that his joints and his loins were loosened, and his knees smote against one another. This is the King of Kings of Babylon, okay? He's the powerful majesty king, and he's the one that's boasting of all the pride. Now his countenance has been changed because of what he sees and what's going on the wall. Even though he don't know what's being written on the wall, he just sees the hand, and he's drunk, and he's having a party, and all of a sudden the cease of the music, the cease of the noise, and all of a sudden he sees this hand. And his knees start shaking and they get weak and his countenance changed. I believe he just now was scared sober. I believe that there was a moment in this time that he went, uh-oh, we have a problem. I believe his thoughts were more than just troubled. I really do. The writing was on the wall. Folks, that can be said of today. The writing's on the wall. But it can also be said that the writing has already been written in your word. Right here. It's already been told what's next. It's already told of the old redemption story of how you can have new life in Jesus Christ and have a different outcome. Many people have times in life that you've been scared, but did it change your heart and commitment to God? Belshazzar ignored his whole life. He was full of pride, full of lust. The impressing of other people was his desire. He never considered the consequences of his actions and chose not to acknowledge God. Folks, you know this. I'm not telling you anything new. In a blink of an eye, life can change. In a blink of an eye, life can change. This, some of you may have even experienced this. It can be health. It could be an accident. It could be a disaster. But in a blink of an eye, life can change. Bible tells us that even quicker than a blink of an eye, that he's coming home for his children to take us to be with him. In a short amount of time, you and I will stand before God and give an account. In a short amount of time, we will give an account. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible tells us that as is appointed unto men, once to die, and after that, judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, it tells us the truth that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have not done many wonders and works? Then Jesus said, I will prophesy unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Which, in prayer and studying and looking at scriptures, I believe that many people today fit the category of knowing about God. They can even quote you scriptures. They can do other things that religious people do. They can know about God. But truly in their heart, they've never surrendered their life to God and confessed Him as Lord, the one that's in control of their life, which would fit the description. Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. If you knew about God only, if you surrendered to God, confessed Him, and allowed Him to be Lord, controller of your life, you'll be entering in to the kingdom of heaven. But if you just simply know about God, you know Bible verses, you know the stories, if you just know about God, depart. How could I say that? Well, do you believe that the devil and the demons know about God?
Of course. They will never surrender to God and trust Him. They rebel against Him. They reject Him. As well as Belshazzar has as well. Many people today are on that broad road. Could it be that in our churches today would be similar to Laodicea? Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 15, where the Lord Jesus is writing, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would rather wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Those children of God, He will chastise. Our response should be repent. Then He tells us in verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Belshazzar looked to the false gods for the answers of what was going on. He reached out to these Chaldeans and astrologers, you see there in verse 7 through 9. They could not explain to him. The Bible tells us in verse 9, his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. His countenance even got worse. Then the queen in verse 10, she hears all the commotion, so evidently she was not in the party. But she came in because she heard all the commotion, and all of a sudden it silenced. Excuse me. In verse 10 through 12, she comes in. In reason of the lords of kings and of his lords came in to the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom whom in his spirit is of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and understanding wisdom, like the wisdom of God, of the gods, were found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, the father of the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, for as an excellent spirit in knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing the hand sentences, hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in him. Daniel, who the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee the interpretation. In other words, he was being told, do you not remember when? Do you not remember when King Nebuchadnezzar went through this? Same, and in the end of his days came to acknowledge the true Yahweh God.
Verse 17, Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself," because after he's interpreted the dream, he's told that you can have all this stuff of the world, the chain of gold around the neck, and be third ruler in the kingdom, which meant Belshazzar would be second in the kingdom and Daniel would be third ruler of the kingdom. He promised him all these worldly gifts. Daniel said, "Let it be to yourself. I don't need that. And you can't follow through on what you're fixing to tell me anyway. You're fixing to die. This is the end of your day." So as he interprets the dream, he's reminded of King Nebuchadnezzar. You and I, we need to be reminded that we need to increase our reading of God's Word. Amen. You and I need to be reminded that we need to apply and do what the Word of God tells us to do and trust God for it. Amen. Because our only hope is found in a personal relationship with God, following Him and the Holy Spirit of God to empower us and equip us to do what God's called us to do. And through Jesus Christ, we can have victory day after day until we meet Him in that day that He takes us by the hand and leads us into the promised land. Amen. Meanwhile, as all of this is going on the inside, Daniel's been called. The party has kind of come to a halt. The people are amazed. Don't say whether people left or not. But now we have this going on the inside. What's going on the outside? Well, the Medes and the Persians, while the party's going on, have been digging and making plans to kill and to overtake Babylon. Daniel knew that they were out there. By the writing on the wall, this king would not live, and he would never see the next day, and he could not keep the offer that is made to Daniel. The river Euphrates that was running through the kingdom, they were digging a trench so that they could wade under the wall to overtake Babylon. This would be the end of their journey. In verse 22, Daniel's speaking here to Belshazzar. "You have not humbled thine heart, though you knew all this. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and the lords and the wives and the concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gold of silver and of gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in those hand thy breath is, and whose all the ways hast not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written." Verse 25. "And this is the writing that was written, many, many, tekel, upshar. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting." In other words, he was found empty. This is the end of your kingdom. This is the end of you. And you have found yourself empty before God. "Depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put on the gold chain around his neck, and proclamation conquering him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. Like I said, he could not keep that promise, because in verse 30,
In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. That very night he was killed. Darius and the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That very night was the end of the kingdom, was the end of this man's life. What a tragedy that his hardened heart had not been softened, that he had not acknowledged God. Party was over. Curious, I'd like to know the rest of the story. What are those other people at the party that was sobered up because of what took place ever turned toward God? But what I do see here is a man named Daniel that stayed faithful to God, served God, acknowledged God, and relied totally on God. Regardless of how the consequences unfolded, he was determined he would follow God. Have you not seen the writing on the wall? Have you not heard the gospel? How many people have heard over and over and over again and even seen the writing on the wall? But as this young man as well hardened his heart, said it could not happen to me. I've got many days ahead. I'm impenetrable. It can't happen. But it did. All of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. We cannot have eternal life and live in heaven without God's forgiveness. He loves you that much. Because in Him, meaning Jesus, we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. God so loved you and I, whether you're watching, listening, or you're here. God loves you. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die, suffer, and bleed for you. That through that blood, you can be forgiven. But on the third day, He arose from the grave victorious, and you can have victory in Jesus. You must surrender. You must turn, repent. Turn to Him and surrender your life to Him. The Bible tells us, for judgment is without mercy. Judgment will be true and just because that's the God that we serve. He knows your thoughts. He knows your past. And He knows your history. And He knows your future. Why would you not want to trust Him? But unless you repent, turn from your sin, you will perish. But if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Choose. Choose today who you're going to serve. Choose today who you surrender your life to. Today, would you like to receive this forgiveness? Would you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and come and confess Him, desire to believe in Him and follow Him? I pray that if you have not, that if you just simply have known about God and you've not done that today, that you'll do that. The Holy Spirit of God begins to draw you to that salvation. If you know Christ and you've trusted and surrendered your life to Christ, but on the journey of all the choices and decisions and trying to navigate through the world, that you find yourself this morning trying to impress people rather than honor God, may today be the day that you repent and say, God, call it as it is. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And restore unto me the joy of my salvation and set me on the track that you have for me. that I'll serve you and honor you. Some of you here this morning, you have family, you have friends that they know about God, but they don't surrender to God. I met someone out here in the parking lot just recently. She said, I've known about God all my life. I grew up here. I could tell you Bible stories. I could tell you Bible verses. I could tell you how church operates, everything in and out. But I've never surrendered to God. Life's short. God's calling you today. What are you going to do with that? Heads bowed and eyes closed as you stand. Everybody stand, please. Linda and Chris is going to come and play here in just a moment. Today, what is God asking you to do? Because I know He's here. What does He want you to do with what you've heard from Him today? Not from me, but from Him. What is He speaking to you about? Do you know about Him but never surrender to Him? Come today and be saved. Confess Him. You've surrendered to Him, but life's journey has got you off track and you need to repent and quit trying to impress people and begin to honor Him. Today the altar's open for you to do that. His arms are open wide to lovingly care and forgive, to heal, and to restore. You have family members that your heart's broken for, that's not living the life that God desired for them. They're far from God. Whether they know about Him or they know Him and surrender to Him, and you just need to want to pray. Whatever God leads you to do as they play, would you do that right now while people are praying? I'll be front.